Reminder from Fulton Homes and 620 KTAR Cares for Kids.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get back together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
And now, the men who put the P.U. back in computer. Here's Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
And we are hot like wasabi when we bust rhymes.
And I can almost hear you.
Hello?
There you are.
Hello? Why does that happen every week?
Because Brian's... Oh, he says you're sitting in front of the wrong mic because you were leaning into this one, but then you switched at the last second.
How long have we been doing this show?
Actually, you usually use this mic over here.
I do not.
Oh, my bad.
I do not. I always... Brian, see this mic? Every week. Because this happens, I can show you... I can actually play back the recording from last week because the same thing happened.
Yeah, it did.
I'm
but
always
Russ was
here
last week.
Always here.
Brian wasn't our engineer last week.
Here
it was Russ.
See? So it's
you can't really blame it on Brian last week.
So I guess it's me.
It is the computer corner! It is not Ken, it is the computer corner. Ken Colburn over there, the guy that you can't hear at the beginning of the show, but then you can a few seconds later. Brandon Disney over here. For some reason, they always get my mic right. Maybe it's just they don't like you.
I guess.
It could be that.
How about this guy over here?
That guy over there, that's Garrett Pella, one of the fine Mighty Data doctors from our Tempe location.
So
on the other side of the glass, of course, Brian Scalzo, technical director, and the producer of our show, Michael Valdivia, doing what she always does. What does she do?
The Divine Miss M.
Yeah, she puts together the show pretty
yes.
much. She puts together the newsletter and puts together the content for the website, and she helps us with all kinds of things and takes your calls and questions at 602-277-5827. See how I slipped that in there?
She comes up with the Geek Speak of the Week, the Web Attack Free Download of the Week, all kinds of goodies here. So if you like our content, it's all about her.
And in case you missed that number again, 602-277-KTAR. We don't have any free lines open at the moment because you guys just filled them all up, but... When you hear somebody hang up later on in the show, that's your chance to jump on board with us again, 602-277-5827. If you can't get through there, or if you're a little shy, or if you just want to try the old digital method, you can, of course, visit our website at datadoctors.com, click on the radio show section, and if you scroll towards the bottom, you'll see an Ask a Question or Make a Suggestion links right there, and you can do that right here live on
is
the air.
Is that on that there www thing?
I thought we shortened it up and just went www.
Dot. www. Dot.
Oh, my favorite is when they go www. Data Doctors. You know, first of all, if you're going to say it these days, you can leave the www or the www or the triple dub or whatever you would say out of it and just say datadoctors.com.
By the way, www never works on anything.
No, I mean, we could make it work for ours if people really
but, I mean,
were trying that.
I hear that in ads all the time. You
right.
hear radio ads, and you hear www.
And these are professional ones that they did ahead of time and edited and made sure they were perfect. And they never make grammatical errors in these ads that they put together and spelling errors and pronunciation errors, but they make real huge technical errors there.
They're just not in the know. But that's why they need to listen to this show every week. Been here for over a decade trying to provide... computer help to you via this fine radio station. And of course, now we're broadcasting worldwide through the World Wide Web.
Of course, I'm sure we have our Scotland listener, Ian.
Ian.
He's listening, and if you're listening outside of the Phoenix area, you want to let us know that you too are hip, cool, and most importantly, digitally educated. Let us know at our website again, datadoctors.com. Click on the radio show section and let us know you're outside of the Phoenix area, that you're listening, and where you're from. And, you know, it's kind of just cool stuff we like to share with everybody.
Yeah, Marge sent a question in from Florence, Oregon. We got all kinds of... We'll see if we can get through some of this stuff and acknowledge all those fine listeners.
By the way, before we get to the show...
Yeah.
I'm supposed to... what's the right word? Clown you a little bit, I think, on the air publicly.
Oh, okay.
Diane came into our shop in Tempe yesterday.
Diane,
a listener. Just a listener.
Ah.
And actually a customer for a long, long time. She had a computer that was built by us.
Yeah.
Like 6 years ago, and then again 4 years ago, and she's going to be the proud owner of her computer again, built by us next week. Anyway,
okay. So
during the storms, you gave advice that if you want to be 100% sure that your machine will be safe,
yeah,
when the storms rolls through, unplug it from the wall, unplug it completely from anything. And her computer was fine until she did that. After she did that, is when the power supply went and the fan on her CPU went, and the thing would never boot back up again. She brought it into us. We checked it out and said, "Well, we got some options here." And she said, "You know, this thing's getting old and slow. Anyway, let's just go this new computer out." But anyway, she was
Diane
half serious, but thought it was kind of
It's called coincidence.
Coinkadink.
Actually, if you had turned it off or done anything in it, you forget the storm. Obviously, you had something on its last leg.
Yeah, and she knew that. She was just kind of, she thought it would be fun to...
Oh, she did she?
Yeah, because she followed your advice.
Why doesn't she call in and talk to us about
it? Well, because probably our lines are busy. Maybe she's there. You never know.
Ha-ha!
Diane, he's challenged you now.
I have. I've thrown
he's
down
He's calling
the gun.
You out.
I'm calling you out, Diane.
We'll tell you when it's time for you to call, Diane, when only you can call.
Yeah, right. Hey, this week's theme, since school's back in session, and of course, most of you youngins around here haven't had to deal with this fine process that occurs this time of year, which is the kids start bringing homework home and asking you questions where you're supposed to know the answer and you don't.
Yeah, the question my kid asks me, I know the answer every time.
Right
now. The question is always, what's that?
What's that?
What's that? What's that? What's that? And it's always like a ball.
Yeah.
Or something that he knows, he's just playing the game with me. So.
Well, something that will happen as you guys go on into your parenting careers is you'll help your child with homework. They'll do it all, they'll take it in, they'll bring it back, and they'll get a wrong grade because of some advice that you gave.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to happen.
Especially when you're know-it-alls like some of us in the room.
It's a rite of passage.
All right.
And it always has to do with, you know, that one word that changes. Oh, no, it was supposed to be the noun version of the word instead of, you know, you didn't read close enough, so it was one of those...
You didn't read close enough or they didn't read close
enough?
Both. Okay.
Anyway, so... Resources, and then, of course, you get these ridiculous, questions that, of course, if you were totally into politics or totally into world economics, you'd probably have it off the top of your head. But
like 2 + 2?
Yeah.
Those exactly. Ridiculous kind of questions?
5.
Right.
Well, the Internet obviously provides us with some tools that we certainly didn't have before. You guys are probably pre-encyclopedia days.
No. Back in the day when I was in school, no. I mean, when I was in school,
yeah.
We had the old printed... 17-volume set encyclopedias growing up on the big bookcase, and you have to drag it out. And
that never had any of the information you were looking
for. No, it was way outdated.
It was
something that my dad got when he was in college that, of course, was 400 years before I was in school. So,
well, if you're a parent...
I think it was actually a rock tablet we were reading from.
Yes. Yeah, I'm
sure
it was.
That old.
The Disney household. If this is your first go-around with a, let's say, first, second, third grader, probably around third grade is when the stuff starts to get... Generally in the math area, that you start to get things where you have to scratch your head and go, huh.
I told you that 2 + 2, it's the big one.
It's the big one. And then as they progress on in their years, it becomes a lot more difficult. So today's show is all about helping you parents with resources that will help you in those sticky situations where your children are coming to you for help and you don't know where to turn. Lots of resources at our website, datadoctors.com. If you're a parent and you've gone through this, share your wisdom with other young, aspiring parents, these parents that are about to go through their rites of passage as parents. Chime in either through email, call in, so on and so forth. Before we get to the show, though, I think we need to kind of review the whole worm situation, all the stuff that's happened in the last week.
Oh, yeah, there was some nastiness.
Obviously, we talked in great detail about the blaster worm last week's show, and then right after that, a fifth version of the So Big Worm was launched, and it caused a lot of traffic, internet network traffic. I wouldn't say that it was some global infection problem that we had, but all it took were a handful of people, and this thing just started bouncing emails all over the place. Most of you out there listening probably have experienced a bunch of mail undeliverable messages in your inbox this week.
It looks like stuff that you tried to send that came back to you saying, I couldn't deliver this stuff, and you're thinking, I never sent it, I must have a virus. And most likely you don't.
That is exactly what we dealt with all week this week, with people just not knowing. These worms, and we've talked about this before on the show, these current versions of these worms will actually do what's called email spoofing. It will spoof the return address when it sends out the infection. So literally, it just randomly selects somebody else that's in your computer and acts like that person sent the message. And of course, when that message bounces or when the virus protection at the other end kicks in and sends back a message saying you sent an infected message, it doesn't come back to you, the sender. It goes back to the person that they spoofed the address on, and that's why you're getting them.
And the fun part is that these are written so that not only is there panic on the person who received it, which is normal, there's panic on the person who thinks they sent it, and there's no panic on the part of the person who actually sent it, so that... Everyone's thoroughly confused.
Yeah, buddy.
For a very busy week this past week.
Yes.
We had more phone calls than I've got brain cells left.
Yeah.
And it's
which is only three, right?
Yeah.
Phone calls?
No, that's the grade my daughter reaches, and then I won't be able to help her with her homework.
Oh, gotcha.
He's ready. So if you've gotten those messages and you're trying to figure out, do I delete this? What did I do? How did I do this? chances are it has nothing to do with you. You're going to be getting a lot more of these. We're averaging, oh, I don't know how many, 40, 50 a day. Those of us that have had email for a while, even with all our filters and what have you, we still tend to get quite a bit. So don't get too overly concerned. It's not you, likely.
Maybe. And that's the fun part, is it could be.
But to play it safe, obviously, make sure your antivirus software is up to date and you do a full virus scan of your computer if you have any concerns at all.
We need to take a quick break in about 30 seconds, but what we're going to do before we do that is bring Adam in, find out what his acronym of the week is, and when we come back on the other side, we're going to answer the question of
he's going to explain
what it means.
Adam, it's the big tease. Adam?
Maybe we need to turn up Adam. There he is. Adam, start all over.
Hey, Adam is an acronym.
It is.
ATOM? We can hear you now, Adam.
Okay. Now that you can hear me, I was going to say, you guys never tease my acronym segment. You just tease everyone else.
Well, we're teasing you now.
Yeah.
What is this week's Adam's acronym?
This week's Adam's acronym is FTP.
Okay, stop there. Because
FTP.
When we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to find out, because everybody, I'm sure, wants to know, what does FTP stand for? What is it? What does it do?
Yeah, but you just hung up on Adam.
No, I have him on hold.
I'm kidding.
Please.
All right. Inquiring minds want to know, FTP, what does it mean?
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can.
Who's on first? Who?
Spider-Man!